Proverbs chapter 6, as I shared a few weeks ago, maybe it was last week, that for a lot of years, I read a chapter of Proverbs every day, and it's easy to remember what chapter I'm on because I look at a calendar. On the 6th, I read Proverbs 6. On the 7th, I read Proverbs 7. It works out really well. There's a way to organize the Psalms also, so you can read all the Proverbs and all the Psalms in one day. I mean, in one week. I know, that's one month. There we go. Proverbs chapter 6. There's a few verses that stand out for a number of reasons. And this morning in this particular study we're going to do is 16 through 19. Six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to him. That's just kind of idiosyncrasy of Hebrew poetry that happens a number of times right here in Proverbs. Six things, yes, even seven. Well, these six things that the Lord hates. Haughty eyes. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that run rapidly to evil. A false witness who utters lies. And one who spreads strife among brethren, among brothers. Six things which the Lord hates, seven which are an abomination to him. That word of abomination, there's not a stronger word that can be used here. It is sometimes thought by some of us, well, homosexuality is an abomination to the Lord because the Bible says it is. Yes, and there are other things that are also an abomination to him. This list, the seven things that are listed that are abominable to him, are not just a cute little thing to read when we go through Proverbs 6. Or what were those six things again, or seven if it was? It's not simply an organized, convenient list. It is to be taken to heart. These are things which selfish, sinful men do to other men. These are things that also destroy a nation, a culture. And I want to take this list and observe it in some other passages of Scripture. God addresses Israel in the book of Zechariah. We're going to go there. And it comes down to this very list of things that he hates, which they were guilty of. Find that book of Zechariah. If you're in Matthew, go left two books and you'll be there. Zechariah chapter 8. First of all, Israel has been in captivity. Zechariah is one of the prophets speaking to them, talking about not only their return and what they're to do, but also about the distant future, about Messiah coming. In the later chapters, he even talks about Jesus setting foot down in Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives. Zechariah's got, it's a packed little book. I want to step into chapter 8. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Zion. Yes, with great wrath I am jealous for her. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, those actual geographical places. Then Jerusalem would be called the city of truth. Please note, it has not ever been called that yet. And the mountain of the Lord of hosts will be called the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women will again sit in the streets of Jerusalem. each man with a staff in his hands because of his age, and safely enjoy one another's company. Just chatting about what there is to chat about. Get that picture in your mind. And the streets of the city will be filled with boys and girls playing in its streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is too difficult in the sight of the remnant of this people in those days, will it also be too difficult in my sight? Declares the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I am going to save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west. I will bring them back, and they will live in the midst of Jerusalem. They will be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. And there is no reason to try to complicate this and make this say something it's not saying or intending. It's very basic. Here's the future laid out for them. Verse 9, thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, you who are listening in these days, to these words from the mouth of the prophets, those who spoke in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, to the end that the temple might be built. By the time Zechariah came, they had rebuilt the foundation, and that was all. The temple was not there again. It had been destroyed. For before those days, there was no wage for man, or any wage for animal. And for him who went out or came in, there was no peace because of his enemies. And I set all men against one another, or against one against another. But now I will not treat the remnant of this people as in the former days, declares the Lord of hosts. For there will be peace for the seed and the vine. The vine will yield its fruit, the land will yield its produce, and the heavens will give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to inherit all these things. And it will come about that just as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, the southern tribe and the northern ten, so I will save you that you may become a blessing. Do not fear. Let your hands be strong. For thus says the Lord of hosts, just as I purposed to do harm to you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Lord of hosts, and I have not relented, so I have again purposed in these days to do good for Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. These are the things which you should do. Here's our list. Speak truth to one another. Judge with truth, and judgment for peace in your gates. Also, let none of you devise evil in your heart against another. And do not love perjury, false oath, lying under oath. For all these are what I hate, declares the Lord. Essentially, it's the same list. I'm going to go back to chapter 7 of Zechariah, and purposely in this order. Verse 1, then it came about in the fourth year of King Darius that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, which is Chislev. Now, the town of Bethel, house of God, sent Sherezer and Regemmelech. Could you imagine naming your baby that? Regemmelech. Anyway. And their men to seek the favor of the Lord. Go and see what God wants us to do. Seek the favor of the Lord, verse 2. Speaking to the priests who belong to the house of the Lord of hosts and to the prophets, saying, shall I weep in the fifth month and abstain from my own thing, fasting and doing your thing, as I've done these many years? They're talking about their religion. They're talking about keeping up with their Judaism. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and 7 months, these 70 years, that was a captivity time in Babylon, was it actually for me that you fasted? What is God saying by what he's saying? You've kept up with your fasting. That's what the law says to do. 70 years you've kept up with it. And now God is calling him on the carpet saying, did you really do that for me? Did you really do that unto me? Good question. And actually, it's the question that we ought to face into on a regular basis. You love singing those songs. Great, are you singing to me? Huh. Keep going. And when you eat and drink, do you not eat for yourselves? Do you not drink for yourselves? Are not these the words which the Lord proclaimed by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and prosperous with its cities around it, and the Negev, the southland, and the foothills were inhabited? He was trying to get your attention because he was not putting up with the lip service when there was no heart. He was proclaiming it to the prophets before they were ever taken into captivity. And now they're back from captivity, at least some of them. And he's saying, were you really doing it for me? Let's reconsider here for a minute. Kind of like Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us reason together. Verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah saying, thus has the Lord of hosts said, here comes our list. Dispense true justice and practice kindness and compassion each to his brother, and do not oppress the widow or the orphan, the stranger or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. Do you see that Proverbs 6 list here? So they are seeking God. Okay, God, here's what we've been doing. Now we want to know what you want us to do. Okay, yes, here's what you've been doing. Have you been doing that to me? What is it? What are you trying to seek? Let me tell you what you need to do. Act right. Treat each other nice. Huh. Really? Is it that simple? Does it really come down to that? When you're not doing that, you're doing stuff that the Lord hates and he says is an abomination to him. And what he's talking about is how you treat each other. God is a God who is good and compassionate and merciful. And he knows when that one has been oppressed and when that one has been utterly taken apart by the words or the actions of another human being. He knows it. And in a number of places, God said he will come to their aid. Keep moving with me in this passage. Verse 11. That's what the prophet said to do. But verse 11, but they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears from hearing. And they made their hearts like flint so that they could not hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. And it came about that just as he called and they would not listen, so they called and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. You don't have another choice here. It's not an either or, except either you obey and we're together in this, or you disobey and you're in trouble. I'm not putting up with it. There's not a gray area. There's not a waffling place. Verse 14, but I scattered them with a storm wind among all the nations whom they have not known. Thus the land is desolated behind them, so that no one went back and forth. Okay, I got a picture of somebody named Joyce right now in my mind going back and forth with her stuff in peace. All she has to deal with is 2,000 mile distance. Nobody was going back and forth. They were removed from the land, and the land was laid desolate. Thus the land is desolated behind them, so that no one went back and forth, for they made the pleasant land desolate. Okay, so that little list in Proverbs 6 that comes out here, Zechariah, in both of these chapters, one was what you should be doing, the other, the previous one, is what you hadn't been doing, the very same things. Guess what? We can trace that into our New Testament quite easily as well. Other places in the Old Testament came to mind, but for sake of time, I'm not going to choose any of the others. Let me give you a little fun side note, that if we were to live by the Sermon on the Mount, we would accomplish those things. Please turn to 1 John chapter 4. A little bit earlier, we sang the song that was built out of these two verses. And I'd actually chosen to do the song before I chose this teaching. It's kind of fun. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. What we have read is a way to love one another. What are the two greatest commandments? Obviously, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one, love your neighbor as yourself. What does that look like? Well, go in the back door. Proverbs 6 tells you what it doesn't look like. Proverbs 6 would tell us when you're not loving your neighbor as yourself. Verse 8, the one who does not love does not know God. And John is very black and white about this. For God is love. Drop down to verse 20. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, how is it that he hates him? He's not talking about a feeling here. This is not a feeling. This is an action that caused the demise of the person. In fact, let me just refer to another proverb. The parents who withhold the rod from the child, Proverbs says, hates their son. It's not a feeling, because sometimes the feelings deter us from the spanking. It's an action word. The one that doesn't direct them, discipline comes in lots of shapes and sizes. It's not just a little switching on the backside. The one that isn't doing that is doing what is detrimental for their son. They are hating their son. It's not about a feeling. It's an action. This will result in bad stuff down the road. Okay, so here, where am I? 1 John 4:20. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. Whoa. Really? For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also, doing what is best and foremost for their good. John also says, how do I know I love God if I love the brethren? And then a little bit later on, how do I know I love the brethren if you love God? It's inseparable. Back up in your Bible to Colossians, please, chapter 3. Colossians 3 has a list very similar to Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. Verse 12, Colossians 3, 12. And so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, those are the things God has done for us, put on a heart of compassion, No one can do that if they're on an island secluded all by themselves. Put another human there and they can do that. This is about us with our fellow humanity. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, which means you put up with their silliness. Doesn't mean you don't confront. It doesn't mean that anything goes, la, 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 isn't life fun? There's adjustments to be made. But this is baseline. This is what we should be standing on and building on. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. And that's the word charizomai, extending grace to one another. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, charizomai, he has extended grace to you, so also you extend grace. And that is the word forgiveness here. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ act as arbiter in your heart. Amen. Rule in your heart. When you're making judgments, and we do, is it peace from the Lord that we are seeking? That does not deny wrong activity. You deal with that. Peace isn't throwing away the wrongs that happen. You deal with those. But unless you deal with them, you can't have that kind of peace. Because you got to be at peace with God. Letting the peace of Christ, seeking first and foremost his peace in my relationships, which is costly. You have to give up and give in and compromise. And you know what? Romans chapter 12 has a delightful verse in it, verse 10, that talks about outdoing one another and showing honor. What a competition that is. I show honor to you, and you show honor to me. Well, I'm going to even do better. This is a game that everybody wins. There are no losers in that. Giving preference to one another in honor is outdoing one another and showing honor. Wow. What a home ours could be like if that's how it was lived. What a community we would have if that's how it was. A little bit more here, and then I've got a little comment to sum it up. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of, in the authority of. It's as if he has signed his signature at the bottom of what you've just done. All in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks, that's the third time thanks has come in, through him to God, even the Father. Each of these lists, humanly speaking, looks rather simple. Man, we should be able to do that and keep up with it. Why is it they're so difficult, though? Why is it that they're so difficult? What do you think?
Everybody else has such strange ideas of how everything ought to be done.
Okay.
If everybody just do it my way, it would be fine.
Right. Let's vote for Bev for president.
I think it's a bit difficult because of the enemy.
The enemy plays a part. There's no question about that.
What would it be like if it was easy?
If what?
If it was easy.
Okay, we can contemplate that for a while, James. Okay, let's let that one sit for a bit. Entrance to heaven, by the way, is because of Jesus' blood shed for you to forgive your sins. It's not by just being a good little boy or girl. But if I have that life of Christ in me, I ought to be living this, and it seems like it'd be so simple, but it's not.
I think too much we get into, we want to love reactive. We're not proactive.
Yes.
If something happens to me, then I'll show the love.
Yeah. It's real easy for me to love you if you will love me.
Yeah.
Whoa. So a little bit of my thinking, right or wrong. Why is it so difficult to follow through with this? It seems that if the world was getting better, if the culture was progressing as some are fantasizing that it is, these things would be an automatic. But the more we progress in our particular culture, the worse things are getting at this very level. The more division and hatred in our very culture, it destroyed the culture of Israel. God sent them away into captivity. I believe it destroyed the Roman culture. And I believe if you track with history, you're going to see that it is the demise of any and every culture. We still fight with these very attitudes and actions. So it proves to me that a man needs the Spirit of God in order to act like the man that God intended the man to be. Even the simplest of things, God help us. God give us the grace to do that. Yesterday was a pretty good day, man. I did pretty well, but today's a new day. And I have to face it again. And I have to struggle again. Let me say that again. A man or woman, please, it's generic, needs the Spirit of God to act like the man that God intended the man to be. Jesus is the only one that qualifies there. I need God's help. And I have borrowed some of that wording from Major Ian Thomas, I will quickly note. Put man under the control of the Holy Spirit, and we will see a man that loves his neighbor as himself. It comes down to that. Okay, just before we end, any last thoughts you want to share with the group? Comments or questions? Yeah, Elizabeth, please.
I was just thinking and summing it up that the reason that he gave us the first commandment is because it's impossible to do the second one without the first, which is to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Mm-hmm.
And that intimacy, I think the fruitfulness, the love, joy, peace, those things flow out of that intimacy that we have with Him. So if we come up short on the out there reaching out to other people, it's probably because we've come up short in our time, our intimate time and relationship with Him.
Okay.
If we get that out of balance, then we struggle.
Yeah. Good. Thank you, Ron.
I think all of this is setting up Colossians 3:18.
Okay.
Which is, that's the tough one.
How we posture ourselves in our own family home. Yes. So go and do likewise. Woohoo! God help us. Help us, Father, to believe you at your word, that Solomon didn't just have a cutesy little proverb there in chapter 16. But this is life and death. As we trace that through the scripture, just briefly already this morning, we see that it's consistent But it goes back to the very beginning. What Adam and Eve chose rather than you. So, Father, we're facing ourselves today because we can't change anybody of these biblical characters, nor the guy or girl sitting next to us. It's about us walking with you. So, Holy Spirit of God, thank you. Thank you that you are with us, you are in us that know Jesus, and that you have got that grace so that we can walk this walk that should be so simple, but it's not. Father, overcome our selfishness, overcome our pride so that in humility we can be gentle and kind and compassionate to those around us, putting up with some of the idiosyncrasies and extending that forgiveness as you've forgiven us. Father, thank you for the opportunity to live this life. And Lord, I do pray that our discipleship walk would increase. That going on down that road, Lord, step at a time, we can see the fingerprints of Jesus on one another. Thank you for bringing us through a whole lot of the turmoil that we've caused ourselves and loving us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.